check it out. We're going to have a little musical interlude and then go right into Kathleen Stevenson with Jasmine Zimmer Stuckey and Eric Wallace. So keep it locked right here. Your community radio, KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine, and here with me are Jasmine Zimmer Stuckey, a community organizer with Columbia Riverkeeper, and Eric Wallace, producer of the documentary Momenta, which captures stories from the mines of Montana and Wyoming to the ports of the Pacific Northwest, places that are threatened by big coal. Momenta is screening this Monday night, April 28th, at the Clinton Street Theater. Welcome, Jasmine and Eric.
Great to be here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for coming in. Now, the website says Momenta is back by popular demand. Eric, tell us a little bit about this documentary and why it's important to see it.
Okay, great. Well, basically, we started the documentary with the support and help of Protect Our Winters, which is a group of winter sports athletes committed to the battle against climate change. And so they heard about the coal export issue up here in the Pacific Northwest and basically brought us on to document it and get out to the mines and follow it along the railroad all the way through to the Pacific Northwest where the proposed export facilities are, and just tell the story about all of the externalities and all of the implications if these proposals go through.
And were you, as a producer, were you out in the field for this, or what did you actually do?
Yeah, so we did two principal photography trips. The first one we did, we went all the way to the mines in the Powder River Basin and interviewed a bunch of people and toured the actual mine facilities, worked our way back, chased trains the whole way, kind of were going in the same direction as coal trains, so didn't have as much luck that we got some shots of coal trains, but then we came back and we got crowdfunded and were able to do a whole nother trip all the way out to eastern Montana and document what we learned and interview a bunch of really great people along the way.
Mm. And Jasmine, you're with Columbia Riverkeeper. Why are you involved in this issue?
Well, the Columbia River is one of many places in the Northwest that's threatened by dirty coal export, whether it's the transport of trains in open trains along the Columbia River. We have two proposed terminals along the Columbia River, and the third is up in near Bellingham. And the thing about coal export is this issue has brought people together from the mines in Montana and Wyoming to the towns of Longview, Columbia County, Seattle, Washington, Bellingham. All of these communities are coming together around one issue, and that's coal export. And that's what Momenta is all about. And it's an incredibly impressive, amazing story. And I'm really glad that it's coming back to Portland. We had a standing room only crowd for the director's cut. So this is the final version that's premiering on Monday. We had the director's cut a few months ago. And it's a great film. As you know, going up against the coal industry, that's a fight you don't win overnight. But it is a fight that we can win, and it's nice to have really stunning, impressive video that's inspiring, that tells the story from multiple vantage points, including professional athletes who are out on the mountains every day who see the lack of snow from season to season, and that's pretty neat. So that's what Momenta is all about. That's why Columbia Riverkeeper and the Power Pass Coal Coalition are really proud to show this film across the Northwest, because this is a campaign that we're going to fight for years, but we have been winning and we expect to win, but we need to have great documentary footage of it, like Momenta.
Mm-hmm. And what are the wins so far, in your opinion?
Well, if I was standing here or sitting here talking to everyone about a year and a half ago, I would say we have six coal export terminals to fight. And today we have three. So that's a halfway there, and a huge thing to celebrate when, again, you're up against the coal industry, something you don't win overnight. And in Oregon, you know, where we are right now is Governor Kitzhaber announced last week that he, that his Department of State Lands will make a decision by May 31st on Oregon's remaining coal export terminal, Amber Energy's Morro Pacific Project. The Morro Pacific Project is being proposed by Amber Energy. They're an Australian company. They've been financially insolvent or near insolvency for years. Their project impacts tribal rights. It impacts the Columbia River and salmon habitat, and it's time to deny it. And we know that Governor Kitzhaber will make a decision by the 31st, which is why coming out on Monday, seeing this film, being part of the coal export movement in the Northwest is so important.
And you mentioned the coming together of people of, I think, diverse people in a variety of ways. Can you talk a little bit more about that in the film?
Yeah, well, I would actually like to ask Eric what his sort of favorite interviews were from the film, because I would have loved to be, you know, on all of those tours to see the entire line, but I think you've probably got the best stories.
Yeah, so I definitely have two that come to mind that are my favorites, and I'd say the first was L.J. Turner, who's a rancher out there in the Powder River Basin, and he's almost standing by himself against the coal industry, because as he says, everyone's got their hand in the coal business out in Gillette, Wyoming. There's no other industry besides cattle ranching and coal, and so what's happening is they're of course taking a lot of the land from the ranchers and depleting a lot of the aquifers. And so he's a rancher. They've had a lot of land there for years, and he's kind of single-handedly fighting it and putting together a coalition to go up against these big coal companies. And he gave us a tour of the entire mining facility, and it was really, really eye-opening. I'm not sure we were supposed to be everywhere we were, but it was an awesome experience.
He's not the fellow in the trailer. There's a fellow who says something like they're taking Wyoming to China or something like that. It has a great quote. It's much more eloquent than that, but
yep, that's LJ. Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, I had to call his house to get a hold of him, and multiple times he just has a landline, and his wife would answer and say, call outside for LJ, and he'd come inside, and he was really, really open and welcoming to us. It was great. And then the second thing I think that I like, we interviewed a lot of really innovative new clean and renewable energy businesses throughout the Pacific Northwest, and that's part of our, I think, statement with the film, is that it's such an innovative area, and the Pacific Northwest is known for progressive politics and innovation with industry, and it's a huge wind corridor for, you know, for the nation up here. And, you know, kind of scratching your head, like, what are we thinking about exporting coal through the Pacific Northwest? And so a couple of the people that are working in the manufacturing plants for solar panels, and there's a couple interviews in the movie where they just kind of state how proud they are and the fact that they see their work when they're riding their bike to work. And kind of, that's one of my favorite moments.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking with Eric Wallace, who is a producer of the documentary Momenta, which is showing twice this Monday night, April 28th, at the Clinton Street Theater. And also here is Jasmine Zimmer Stuckey, community organizer with Columbia Riverkeeper, who's also been working on this issue. So you mentioned that the critical time on this issue, Jasmine, about the decision that Kitzhaber is going to make. What is the way that he is getting information from people about his, you know, how to make his decision? Who is informing him, and how are they doing it?
Mm-hmm. Well, this issue has undoubtedly been on the top of his radar through no more than, you know, a full tsunami of public comment, of rallies, of videos and films about this issue constantly in his, keeping this at the top of his list. So right now we're asking people to call the governor or send him an email asking him to make the right decision, deny the permit for Amber Energy's Morro Pacific Project in Oregon. He has said, he stated last week very clearly, and it's actually up on on his website at the oregon.gov. His exact words were, you know, I will make a decision by the 31st of May. And so for folks who've been following this campaign for years, or if you're just getting to know what the issue, you know, right now is a critical time to come out, to watch the film, to call the governor, to talk to your neighbors and friends, and take some action, because it would be a really great gift to the state of Oregon to not have to fight against dirty energy and to shift to the things that Eric was talking about in the film. You know, we are a hotbed of innovation, and we could do that even more if we weren't fighting these terrible projects.
And do you know who would be contacting him with the other side of the story, the other preference, besides Amber Energy? Are there people lobbying from other domains who would be approaching him?
Yeah, well, certainly he's hearing from the coal industry, which is no small giant. And, you know, there's also a lot of, you know, the potential for manufacturing that comes along with this. But as Eric said, the potential for manufacturing doesn't go away when these projects go away. We have the potential to manufacture healthy, you know, sustainable, renewable technologies. And there's no reason that Oregon needs to go the way of, you know, the 20th, the 19th century. We should march together into the 21st century with the renewable technology that we have. And, you know, fighting coal export means that we can't do that.
This week, the governor has been in the news, and the Department of Transportation in Oregon has been in the news related to what a top administrator said about basically governance of trains and what can be revealed and about trains going through Oregon. Can you talk about that and how that has affected what your activities are in the near future?
Well, so what you're referring to is the Oregon Department of Transportation basically threw up its hands and said it's too hard to ask rail companies what's traveling on our rail, whether it's explosive, whether it's going to pollute the environment and degrade our airshed. So we're not going to do it anymore. That came out on the Sunday Oregonian in a story by Rob Davis. Monday, they did rescind that statement. I think they read the article and probably realized the huge mistake that they were that they had made, the amount of power they were abdicating to the rail industry and big coal and big oil. And so the governor has responded by putting together a meeting on Tuesday morning at the Linton Rail Yard. And so after everyone goes to Momenta on Monday night, we have back-to-back showings at 7 and 8:30. We're going to rally again at the Linton Rail Yard on Marina Way off Highway 30, because the governor will be there, legislators will be there, state agencies will be there, all talking about crude oil and what we're supposed to do around public safety. So that's at 9 a.m. on Marina Way off Highway 30.
So even though it's about oil, it still is in the same ballpark as the coal train.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of people became aware of what was traveling along their rail lines in their backyards by learning about coal trains and the threat of, you know, 1 pound of coal dust per car per mile traveling through our state.
Oh, do you happen to have the governor's number at hand?
Yes, I do.
Okay. And while you're looking for that, let me just say this is Jasmine Zimmer Stuckey. She's with the Columbia River Keeper, and also with us is Eric Wallace, who's producer of Momenta.
So the governor's number for his citizen representative hotline is 503-378-4582. 503-378-4582.
Eric, what else do you want to say about the film and what people will gain from seeing it?
I think we kind of bring a little bit of a unique perspective in that we are working with a lot of these professional winter sports athletes and outdoor athletes to try and engage a little bit younger community and bring them to the issue. And then it's also a focal point through coal export and the coal trains on the bigger, you know, climate change issue, as well as our kind of national energy policy. Are we going to continue to export our fossil fuels overseas and get all of the, you know, the pollution and climate damage, as well as all the externalities along the train routes? Or are we going to focus on innovation and get involved with your community to try and to have an impact? And I think that's what we tried to do, is the call to action is a moving target a little bit, not just here, but everywhere you go, you know, along the tracks. In Montana, they might not be as concerned with the climate change debate, but they are really concerned that we'd have to use, you know, taxpayer money to do any of the improvements for the railway. Mm. So there's really something in it for everybody. But ultimately, we tried to leave it on a real positive note and give people hope and show them that, as Jasmine was saying, with organizations like Power Pass Coal, Columbia Riverkeeper, Sierra Club, Friends of the Gorge, locally, those groups are having a huge impact on this national issue. And it's good to see that when people get involved and you know, even from just canvassing locally, you can be involved and have an impact.
Are the routes assured? Are the routes certain as to how this would be transported? Or are those still a moving target, as you say?
The routes of the coal trains and coal barges are relatively set. They'll travel through from Montana and Wyoming through northern Idaho and then down through the Columbia River Gorge. And the barges will travel along the Columbia River Gorge. The trains will then go up to Longview and along the I-5 corridor to Bellingham. So those are relatively set. But really, as Eric said, you know, coal export, because of its links to climate change, impacts the entire world. And it is true, and Momenta does a great job of telling that story, not just what's happening in one small pocket of the Northwest, but what's happening, you know, throughout the entire region and how it's impacting the world.
I know you have to leave in a few minutes, so we're almost out of time. What do you want to leave people with about this issue and about the film?
We'd love to see everyone out on Monday night. It's going to be a great film. The film is not available online yet. It's doing a tour across the Northwest. So if you haven't seen it, if you want to see it, this is the time to see it. And like I said, we're at a critical point in the coal export campaign. So come out and you know, talk to your neighbors, watch a film, and let's tee up for a victory.
How about you, Eric? Anything you want to tell people that are coming to the film or might want to come to the film?
I would just add that, just like the film, we hope it's going to be an interesting and kind of fun night. We have a raffle with a bunch of great prizes from our event sponsors, and we want it to be, you know, fun and uplifting and get the community together to understand these issues and also get involved with the local organizations. And at which point we are going to actually give this film away to the public so they can show in classrooms and across the nation. We're not looking to make any money from it. We just want to really help raise awareness.
Great. And a website? Is there a website that they...
MomentaProject.com. And from there you can link to the Facebook and get all the details on the event.
Great. Okay, Eric Wallace, I want to thank you very much. Jasmine Zimmer Stuckey, I want to thank you also for coming in and talking about this, and remind people again that the event is Monday, April 28th, back-to-back screenings, 7 and 8:30 p.m., Clinton Street Theater, and it sounds like a fun and enjoyable as well, and it's an informative event. This is Kathleen Stevenson for the Radio Zine. We're going to go out with a little sounds from the trailer. You'll hear some of the voices that Eric and Jasmine mentioned that are in this film. And then after that, we're going to stay related to coal. We're going to hear a story about protesters against mountaintop removal coal mining who were in court for the fifth time this past week, facing charges resulting from their protest at the corporate offices of UBS. They were protesting the bank's financial support for mountaintop removal coal mining, and that's from Between the Lines. But first we'll hear a few of the sounds of Momenta.
This was a beautiful country, and I hate to see it just totally become a sacrifice area for some damn company's bottom line.
They're used to making lots of profits, and their profits are going down significantly, so they need new markets, and the new markets are in Asia. The closest way from Montana to Asia is through our backyards and through our ports here in the Northwest.
Asia gets the energy, coal companies get the profits, Montanans are stuck with the tab.
It's bad to have coal trains ripping through your town spewing dust, no matter what your political philosophy is.
A, we don't have a say about it, and B, it affects our health. How does that work?
And the people are going to be paying the price, not the one that's getting paid for them mining their coal.
If all of these proposals that are on the table right now get built, the impacts to climate change and the greenhouse gas emissions would actually be significantly more than those of the Keystone Pipeline.
If we cook this wonderful planet we're living on, we're not going to have human existence.
The new norm in weather just seems to be record snows, record droughts, snow in June.
We have a chance to greatly reduce what I believe is going to be a catastrophic collision course that we're on.
That coal has to stay in the ground. You can't make the math of climate change work at all if you get the huge coal deposits of the Powder River Basin out and pour them into the atmosphere.
There's 120 of those trains a day back and forth, loaded and then empty. Mr. Peabody's coal train is carrying Wyoming away.
To make these coal export proposals work, it's going to be a tremendous amount of capital needed to build the ports, to improve our infrastructure for the railroads. That's the kind of money that should be going into building our clean energy economy.
It's both where we have to go